This is the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. Good morning on the 5th of June, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Check them out online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller check in with the news today, including a Northeast Indiana crop update as planting operations try to wrap up. And American farmers are getting older. We'll hear what American Farm Bureau has to say about that. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for rain to try and exit the state, but some lingering rain is possible, mostly in the south. And corn, beans, and wheat all higher yesterday. Tom Fritz has market insights on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at ffbt.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture, Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
A crop update from Northeast Indiana and what to do about the aging farmer population. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Planting is nearly complete across the state with 86% of Indiana's corn and 81% of the state's soybeans in the ground. CJ Miller checks in now with a farmer just north of Fort Wayne to see how crops are looking in his area.
As far as Noble County right now, it's basically in God and Mother Nature's hands.
And that's Tom Griffiths, a corn and soybean producer based near Kendallville in northeastern Indiana. He's also a director on the United Soybean Board.
I actually planted my last field of corn May 9th, and then I was practically done with beans, all except for one field that's notoriously a problem every year, and I just finished that 3 days ago.
He tells Hoosier Ag Today that many of his neighbors have been dealing with the effects from frost last Saturday night.
Some of the low-lying areas, the corn was burnt severely, and in some cases, it's completely dead. Now, these were extremely spotty places. I don't know if anybody will go in there and replant. Again, wait to see a few days, see if the corn comes out of that. And it seemed to be the better stands. If your corn was small, it didn't appear to get hurt. But if you had some corn that was 8, 10 inches tall, that was impacted quite a bit.
Griffith says he's glad that planting season is now in the rearview mirror.
The rest of the month looks like it's going to be pretty easy. Done planting, done with first cutting hay for the most part. If the rain holds off, I'll be about 70% done with side dressing corn.
Check out more of my conversation with Noble County farmer Tom Griffiths. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Retail agronomists and crop consultants attend the Agronomy Conference and Expo in Indianapolis August 4th through 6th and enjoy complimentary registration. This event is a must attend for retail agronomists looking to network with industry leaders with key sessions on sustainability and nutrient management. Use the code Hoosier in all caps for complimentary registration. Visit tfi.org/events and use the code Hoosier to secure your complimentary spot at the Agronomy Conference and Expo in Indy.
Data shows that American farmers are getting older. American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall discussed this issue as well as ways to address the problem with the Senate Special Committee on Aging Wednesday.
According to the latest USDA Census of Agriculture, nearly 40% of all farmers are now beyond the retirement age, yet only 8% of farmers are under the age of 35. We should all be concerned about those numbers and the future of our family farms.
Duvall says that one of the ways Congress can support family farms is by updating the Farm Bill.
Our farmers need a modernized 5-year Farm Bill. Issues like inflation, rising supply costs, and overall market volatility have made it harder harder for our family farms to hold on. This will help families stay in business and pass the farm on to the next generation. The Farm Bill also provides certainty for new and beginning farmers just starting out.
Duvall underscores that Farm Bureau recognizes the importance of supporting farmers at all stages of their careers.
Our Young Farmers and Ranchers program, our Promotion and Engagement program, and our Women's Leadership Committee gives farmers the tools to advocate for their own success. America has a rich tradition in farming, and we want to ensure that continues in the next generation and beyond.
In addition to updating the Farm Bill, Duvall also testified to the importance of access to credit for young and beginning farmers, as well as updating tax provisions, like in the recently passed House Reconciliation Package. He urges the Senate to follow suit. You can find more farm news online, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A frontal boundary that gave most of the state good precipitation yesterday and last night is continuing to try and exit the state this morning. We're going to be seeing lingering scattered shower action from east to central parts of Indiana all the way down through the southwest part of the state. Showers and thunderstorms both here for your Thursday. I think in southern Indiana or the southern half of the state, we can probably pick up an additional quarter to three quarters of an inch of precipitation today alone. In the north, I think we're done. Now, we may not turn out bright and sunny right away, but I think we are done with additional moisture. For tomorrow, everybody sees a mix of clouds and sunshine. We stay precipitation free except near the Ohio River. That's where we can see another round of scattered showers and thunderstorms, probably closer to sunset tomorrow night and into very early Saturday morning. That leads to a weekend that is partly sunny and dry. And then for late Sunday night into Monday, our next front sweeps through. Not a lot of moisture here, but I do think we have to allow for some scattered showers from just ahead of sunset right on through early Monday morning to Monday midday. Few hundreds to maybe half an inch total. Coverage will be about 60%. From Tuesday forward next week, we are sunny, warm, and dry. May have a little bit of heat-based instability on Friday. I don't think it's a big deal, but our next frontal boundary is a big deal for the 15th. Sunday the 15th, significant rounds of showers and thunderstorms coming through there, up to half to one and a half inches of rain, and that's followed by high pressure that dominates the Great Lakes through most of the following week. So we're kind of on again, off again with precipitation, one good system per week. We're also seeing an attempt to build some heat units here, although I'll be honest with you, we're not getting blown away by super warm air just yet. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Planting season is here, and Beacon Credit Union is proud to stand beside the farmers who make it all happen. We're here to help with flexible lines of credit, equipment financing, and real estate loans built for your operation. At Beacon, it's ag people serving ag people, committed to your success in every season. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
Gains across corn, beans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review, and I'll have the final numbers from Wednesday trade coming up. First, market analysis, which I picked up right at the end of the trading session from Tom Fritz in Chicago at EFG Group. Corn, soybeans, and wheat back on the high side, although some of those markets off the day's highs, but it did look like some fun buying and maybe some concern about just how big this crop is going to be here in 2025. What all is at play in your mind, Tom?
Well, that's all part of it. And, you know, number one, I think it's short covering. We know the funds have a decent size short in the corn market. They're a big time short in the wheat market, and they're kind of even in the soybean market. So I think we've got some short covering in here. My initial thought was earlier this morning, we just ran out of sellers. You know, you saw the lower prices in the night session, and then here we come daytime hours, and, you know, we're back to unchanged and the market's clicking higher. So that's really indicative. We've just run out of sellers. As far as the news go, you know, you look at old crop corn, yeah, it's up a quarter. New crop corn's up 5 1/4. Well, July corn, it's going to be dead in the water because the second season corn crop from Brazil is right around the corner. And everybody still talks about a big crop. Even though I think it was late last week, they did have a freeze in some of the areas where the corn wasn't quite ready. But there's been literally no word as to any kind of impact. And I know there was an entity out today just saying, you know, you're looking at a big corn crop coming from Brazil. So it's all about the new crop. You know, there's chatter, the southern Midwest, Mid-South, it's kind of soggy. Looks that way. It's going to stay soggy. As of what was it? As of Monday afternoon's acre or planted report, it suggests that there's just over 3 million acres intended for corn that haven't been planted yet. So you've got some magical, insurance dates coming up. So it's questionable: will we still have all the corn acres that was originally intended on March 31st? And when's it going to warm up? I know a lot of guys saying, you know, they've had plenty of moisture. They need heat. That's just a question of time. So, but all this adds to the idea that maybe the trade's a little bit too short. We've got some unknowns developing here. And plus, it's the beginning of the growing season. You really want to be short? That's that. I think corn also got a little help from wheat today. The wheat market is, it's short covering, but what's the stimulus? I think the war between Russia and Ukraine is going to escalate. After last week's happenings where Ukraine got into the Russian interior with their drones and did, from what I'm reading, some considerable damage. And what was it today? The president was talking to Mr. Putin. Now, the president, he just loves to be on his social network, and it's blah, 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 blah. Well, he says Mr. Putin's going to respond to Ukraine with what they did this past weekend. So that means the war is going to escalate, and what is he going to do? Is he going to go after the cities? Is he going to go after the ports? Don't know. So that puts a little bit of a bid in the wheat market. Plus, there's some concern in some of the soft red wheat areas, especially in the Ohio Valley. It's wet, and that wheat would like some dryness right now for, final maturing. And it won't kill quantity, but it kills quality. So, you're looking at feed wheat and how expensive can feed wheat be. So, milling wheat, it's gonna command a premium, especially if it's short. So I think that's gotten into the Chicago wheat market, the Kansas wheat market as well. And even for the Minneapolis market, it saw some good selling yesterday because of the rains that were starting to occur in the Canadian plains. I should say the Canadian prairie. So I think a lot of the wheat market is indeed fund short covering, as well as some concerns about what's going to happen to Ukraine. Soybeans, to me, that's a little bit of short covering in there. I don't see any feature to the soybean market right now. Brazil is still exporting big numbers of beans. No indication they're running short. China indeed has cut back on their imports. Soybean oil, You know, for a while, soybean oil was a big picture. Everybody's waiting on the EPA with their blending mandates. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, it's been quiet this week. The rumor mill has been going crazy over there. Oh, they're going to announce this. They're going to announce that, so on and so forth. But, you know, it's finally quiet. So bean oil's not doing much of anything. And soybean meal gets a little bit of intermarket spread support from it. Cash markets and meal, they're all negative numbers, even the offers. So, and you go look at a meal chart, it's been locked into a trading range, a very tight trading range, for the last almost three weeks now. So, but, you know, with the meal market, as long as all the cash markets are reading unders, it's like, where are you going to go? So, bottom line, today's green ink, you know, I'm not sure you're going to see a whole lot of follow through to it. Just because in the case of corn, the trade was too short. In wheat, trade was too short. And the soybean market just kind of goes nowhere.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Now the Wednesday final numbers, July corn again, but just a quarter of a penny, 4.38¾. September, 4.28, up 4.5. Dease contract picks up a nickel and a quarter, 4.43¾. July beans, 10.45, up 4.25. August up 4.5 at 10.38¾. And November, 10.25, 3.5 cents higher. July wheat, 5.43¼, up 7.25. June live cattle up 242, going to 218.40, down 25 cents on June lean hogs, 99.97. Deferred contracts all went higher. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.